This is Austin Pace with BYU Idaho Radio, and I'm joined today by Jeremy Hall, the financial reporting director here at BYU Idaho and today's devotional speaker. Brother Hall grew up in Boise, Idaho. He graduated with an associate's degree in accounting from Ricks College, a bachelor's degree in accounting from Brigham Young University, and a master of professional accounting from the University of Utah. Brother Hall has worked at BYU Idaho since 2011 in the financial services department. Thanks for joining me, Brother Hall.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your family.
Yeah, my wife and I met here at Ricks College. We were one of the many Ricks College love stories. We were married in 1999, and we've had a wonderful adventure, wonderful life together. We have four children. It took us a little bit of time to have kids. We didn't have our first until 2008, and we're excited to be parents for these four kids. They teach us things. We try to teach them. We have adventures together. We try to go out and have fun. But life is good. Somehow the Lord has led me back here to Rexburg. I like being here at BYU Idaho. It's a wonderful place to work. The Spirit is here every day, and it's just a confirmation to me that the Lord is in charge, that He wants His children, the students of BYU Idaho, to learn and grow and prepare for lives of service.
Your devotional address is titled, "We Are Creators and Builders." So where did the inspiration for this topic come from, and why did you choose it?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you where the inspiration did not come from. I knew that if I talked about accounting and the work I do every day, that people would fall asleep. So it did not come from my daily work. But I do have a hobby. I like to do woodworking, and I will talk a little bit about that as an introduction in my devotional. With woodworking, there's a lot of lessons, life lessons you can learn, but that led me naturally to being a creator and a builder. And there are quotes by President Nelson that are shared in my devotional. The inspiration also, I just find it around me every day that we need to be creators. We need to be working to build our lives, that if we feel inspired by our Heavenly Father to pursue a certain task or pursue a certain path, that's what we're supposed to do. And we should work to influence the world around us towards our goals. That's
Awesome. Yeah, so you talk a little bit about woodworking in your introduction, and you go on to list a whole lot of things that you've made for your family, like nightstands, desks, spatulas, cutting boards, and every kitchen utensil you can think of. And you said you've learned a few things about creating with wood over the years. So what is it that you've learned that has an application to your devotional address?
Direct learning, there are lots of things. Probably the biggest thing I've learned is, and this is a big point in my talk, creation is iterative. Our creating is iterative. As we work to create things, and as I'm working in my garage, as my little shop, I oftentimes will be working on something and I'll figure out, nope, it's not working. It's time to start over. But if I have the vision in my head of what I want it to be, then it kind of doesn't matter how many iterations I go through. I'm going to get it. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to get it to where I want it to be. That does take time. That does take materials. And sometimes the materials can be expensive if you're working with nice woods or, nice things. But it's worth it if you have a vision and you're trying to create something that you really want to create. It's iterative. That's probably the biggest lesson.
Right. And we're going to jump into that a little bit because you go on to list 4 points in your devotional address. And that's, I think, was the second point it was. Mm-hmm. And we'll jump a little more into that. But before we get there, you share a quote from President Nelson from the year 2000, who was then Elder Nelson at the time. And earlier on, you said that you're going to be using a few quotes from him. And this one I particularly liked. He says, "The process of construction is truly inspiring to me. From conception to completion, any major building project reflects upon the work of the Master Creator. In fact, the creation of planet Earth and of life upon it undergirds all other creative capability. Any man-made creation is possible only because of our divine Creator. The people who design and build are given life and capacity by that Creator. And all materials used in the construction of an edifice are ultimately derived from the rich resources of the Earth." So what does this quote mean to you specifically? And why did you choose to use this quote in your address?
Well, it's a reminder that everything we have comes from our Heavenly Father, that He gave us that capacity to learn, grow, and obviously create. And it's also, in my mind, it's kind of a commandment that as we're inspired, we should be creating. We should be working towards those ends. And this is not simply, his quote is certainly about building an edifice. He was talking about the conference center at the time that was brand new. But when we're talking about things like an eternal marriage, when we're talking about things like family or any relationship, that requires work. That requires creating. And there are principles that go into making sure those things work. There are principles of repentance and forgiveness that go into probably every relationship. When you're trying to create something, you need to remember all those things that go into it.
Awesome. So you then go on to share those 4 points on creating and building. And I'd like to get into those points and dive a bit deeper into each one of them. So the first point is that God designed us to be creators. So you then tell a story of a young woman who decided to act to create the life she wanted. So could you tell me her story and how it ties into your address?
For sure. So this is actually a friend of my wife. My wife was a college student. We hadn't had children yet, so she was going to college to finish her degree. She had put me through my college time, and she met this young woman who had gone through college. Unfortunately, no dating had happened during that time, which was, I'm sure, difficult for her. But once she finished college, she decided she needed to do a little more on her side to try to, you know, be out in the social element, out in this, you know, doing social things. And she worked. She thought about things. She brought people over to her house for activities. I think they did things like caroling in the winter time around Christmas time and activities like that. And even though she was working to try to create the life she wanted to be married. She did want to be a mother and do all the things that she felt like her Heavenly Father wanted her to do. She was getting discouraged, and she talked to my wife about her discouragement and how things weren't quite progressing at the speed she wanted. And my wife gave her a pep talk and told her, well, maybe you need to do just a little bit more, and maybe there are other activities you should be out in and try to, you know, be a fun person. And pretty soon things worked out for her. Now, in my talk, I do explain that I cannot promise everybody those same results. That's just a fact. But I believe it is a commandment that we should try to work towards those things, that we should try to influence the world and influence our lives and try to create maybe a breeding ground or a way that those things can happen for us.
And how do you think that somebody can do that? I know a lot of different people here at BYU Idaho, and, you know, we range from either super eccentric and fun and outgoing to super shy, don't really want to leave the house, right? So I guess for everyone on that spectrum, how can they be creators in that sense that you're talking and be a little more outgoing and create that for themselves?
Yeah, well, the number one word that's coming to mind is courage, that it does take courage to put yourself out there. BYU Idaho has a great activities program. There are so many things to do. They just had the date night, I think, a few weeks ago that was huge, and everybody was invited. Ideally, you had someone to go with and spend some time with. I think it just takes courage, and I think you have to remember that, you know, as much as you're putting yourself out there, other people are putting themselves out there. So courage, and then when people are putting themselves out there, maybe some gentleness goes with it and kindness that comes along, and you might find out that a lot of people identify as maybe introverted or quiet and shy people, but they're taking courage, they're putting themselves out there, and we all need to do the same.
Right. So this one might be a little harder. How have you tried to become a creator, the creator God has designed you to be?
Well, the number one thing that I have felt over the years that I need to create is a relationship with my wife and certainly a celestial family. And that is a daily task. We all bring our own different personalities to a family, and we all have our own trials and triumphs. We have our difficulties and, you know, good days, bad days, all those things come into a family setting. And so on a daily basis, there is a lot of patience in the Hall household, and there's a lot of work that goes into making sure that we try to get along And I think I said a little earlier, a couple of the principles that I think are essential to any relationship are repentance and forgiveness. And there will be a time when someone in your family says something you didn't like. And ideally, repentance will happen, but forgiveness also needs to happen. And if we all remember that, if we're all gentle, if we're all kind, if we're all changing, forgiving, then we can build a celestial family. Eventually, we will get there. That's my number one creative endeavor in this life.
Awesome. So the second point you state is our creating is iterative. And you mm-hmm. talked a little bit about that. And I wanted to dive a little bit more because you seem to focus on that point a lot, especially at the beginning of our conversation. So could you explain to me a little more on what that word means mm-hmm. and how it applies to becoming a creator and a builder?
There are a lot of different definitions of iterate. The one that I found that I appreciate and agree with the most is to improve with repetition. And that I have a story that I tell about a teacher, and she teaches these kids. She brings them to a shop, and they build chairs. And they don't just build chairs one time. They build chairs three times. And the first time, the chairs are probably a mess. But once all the chairs are broken, she says, let's try it again. And the kids have learned a little bit when they build the second chair. And then when they build their third chair, they've learned a lot more, and they've probably built something that they're going to keep their whole lives. So I think this is us. This is us in this life. We are going to mess up. We are going to have those times when we say the wrong thing with a loved one or with anyone. But if we're willing to think of ourselves as creators, and if we're willing to think iteratively that, okay, I can learn from that experience, I can do better the next time, I feel like that's the plan. I feel like that's exactly what Jesus Christ wants us to do. We learn from our mistakes. We go on. He says, don't worry about it. I will take care of what's behind you. I'll take care of all that. You move forward, learn from your mistakes.
Ryan, it seems to be that easy, right? And then you get into a situation where you're like, dang, I'm gonna reflect on that for a while, right? And you can't seem to let it go. And you see that a lot, especially with college students, with various things, with dating, with grades, with just anything school-related. So what is your advice to those people who cannot seem to move forward?
Well, it does take work, and it does take time, and it is an iterative process. I think in the end, when you're at my position, where you're a middle-aged man, and you've been through some things, you've made some choices that you're not proud of, but you've learned from, I think you'll have perspective once you get through. Once you get a few years down the road, you will definitely have perspective on this idea and understand that this is the plan. We are to recreate, and we are to try again. We are to stand up every time we fall down. And sometimes we fall down a lot of times. There's a Japanese proverb, and I hope I get it right, that I remember reading, and it said something about falling down six times but standing up seven. But sometimes it's not even that many times. It's a lot more. We fall down hundreds of times, but if we can just stand up one more time than we fall down, that's what the plan is. That's what our Heavenly Father and His Son want for us.
Mm-hmm. So thinking more in the future of what the future holds, instead of being grounded in what's happening now, being grounded in, oh, I'm on the floor, right? You know, really just, I could say thinking celestially, thinking like, I guess, with President Nelson's talk.
I think that's perfect.
Thinking celestially.
That's perfect.
Awesome. So how have you tried to apply this point into your own life?
Oh, my goodness. That's a great question. Well, kind of going back to the creating a celestial family, my wife and I, over the years, we have had times when we've said the wrong thing to each other. And we've had to be forgiving. We've had to allow each other some grace for bad days and for tough times. And certainly that has added to my perspective on this issue, where for myself, she's been forgiving every time that I've come home and had a bad day. And I'm doing my best to be forgiving for her and in the same situation. I think that's probably the best way to say it.
Awesome. So your third point says that we are to build our testimonies. Can you elaborate a little more on that?
Yes. It's a commandment that we are to learn about Jesus Christ, that we are to learn the doctrines of his gospel. And it's a commandment to build, especially your testimony. President Nelson talks about her testimonies as prized possessions, and that you wouldn't sully it. He doesn't use quite those words, but you know, you wouldn't feed it poison. You wouldn't do things to hurt it. If you have something that's an absolute prized possession of yours, you wouldn't leave it out in the weather. You wouldn't, you know, display it in an inappropriate way. You would always take care of it, and you would cherish it, and you would work to keep it healthy. And I think that's what our Heavenly Father wants for us. These are truths of the gospel that we're supposed to be learning. And as we learn them, as they're confirmed to us by the Holy Ghost, we can cherish that testimony and keep hold of it. And it will carry us through difficult times. And I promise you, the difficult times will come. They come to everybody. And with a strong testimony that's fed, that's healthy, that's strong, I said that again, strong, you can get through those times.
So how has your strong testimony helped you and your family get through hard times?
Well, that's a great question. We've had times where things have been difficult. We've had times where, you know, work was overwhelming, life was overwhelming, but remembering that this isn't everything and remembering that there's life after this. In particular, one topic that I could mention is my mother-in-law passed away last July. It hasn't quite been a year, and that's been a difficult time for my family. But remembering the doctrines of the gospel, understanding that there is a life after this, that, you know, we're only in Act 2 of a 3-act play, if you want to talk about it that way. And in Act 3 is when all the resolution happens. Act 3 is when all the, you know, they lived happily ever after can happen. That's when those things happen. And so we're here in Act 2, and things can be difficult. We lose loved ones. We miss them terribly. But with the perspective of the gospel, with a testimony of the plan of salvation, we know that things will work out.
Awesome. That's perfect. Thank you. So your last point says that we are to build others. And I feel like the church does really well on teaching that principle, that we are to be helpmeets for those who need it. And mm-hmm. you can look at the church's humanitarian services. You look at all the missionaries that are out in the field right now, mm-hmm. right? So we are to build others. So could you explain a little bit more about what you talk about in your devotional address with this point?
Yeah, I actually don't elaborate too much on this point. Ideally, the listeners will come to figure it out for themselves what this means. But President Nelson is very clear that we are to build others. We're to be examples of Jesus Christ. And he says, even in the most difficult situations, that we should be examples of Christ. He was so patient. We just finished Easter, and I'm reading a little bit more about the Savior and his amazing patience during his mock trial and everything that went on to lead up to his death on Calvary and later his resurrection. But in that time, he did build others. He performed miracles, even, or at least one miracle that we know of, he performed in the middle of being arrested. And I'm just amazed that someone could be that patient and kind and use their priesthood power for that purpose in a time that could be extremely stressful. So that's a point. We are to build each other. We are to build others up. And I hope that the listeners, as they hear this message and understand it in the context of iterating and everything else that I share, I hope they come up with ways that they can be builders, that they can, you know, lift those around them and help them.
So would you say that building others, the way to do that is simply to be more like Christ?
Absolutely. That's the best way to say it.
So what advice do you give to someone who may be hearing this now for the first time and wondering, how can I be a builder? What advice would you give to that person to where they should start and how they should mold their life to becoming a builder?
My advice, probably to college students in particular, might be to start close to home. Start with your roommates. You can be a builder. You can be kind. You can do things like, I don't know, wash the dishes for your roommates once in a while and keep your own things clean and try to be a peacemaker in all that you do within your own apartment. try to be kind to your roommates. Try to be understanding. If you have roommates that have a bad day, maybe they just need someone to listen to them and not to judge them and what they're doing. My advice would be start close to home.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's been great to have you here, and I really appreciate you taking some time to talk a little bit more about your devotional address.
Yeah. Thanks, Austin.